Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Good afternoon, Ram Nation. Welcome into DNVR Rams Live, presented by Natures of Colorado, the Northeastern Colorado dispensary providing top quality cannabis and a wide variety of products. Remember to use that code DNVR online, or mention DNVR in stores or in drive-thru. We're talking a big Rams dub. CSU pulls it out over Boise State, 75-62 at Moby Arena. The Rams now rocking a three-game win streak. Suddenly, right back in the mix in a wide open Mountain West. We've got five teams all within a single game of each other. We're going to talk about all of it. We're going to get into the takeaways from the game. We're going to talk about some big picture stuff, just this league and how tight things are. Obviously, we're going to get into the updated Mountain West power rankings. But, you know, first things first, man, how you doing? It's been a good week.
It's been a wonderful week. It was the week we'd been waiting for a while. Three in a row. We needed that. And then Saturday was such an elite day of college hoops.
It's perfect.
It was fantastic. Start to finish, starting with Utah State losing to San Diego State. Then Tuesday was magnificent with the big Boise win and Nevada pulling off the road upset. Wow. So, man, I'm so hyped.
I think this was a good reminder that it's a marathon and not a sprint. Obviously, it was really easy to get down after CSU lost 4 out of 6. The game in Wyoming is its own ordeal. But the resilience and the response that this team has had has really stood out to me. Like, you know, you've won three in a row out of a possible 120 minutes in those games. They've led for 112 minutes and 46 seconds.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They've trailed for all of 212, and they haven't gone down by more than two over the last three games. And that's against, you know, two of the best teams in the league, two of the probably the top two defenses in the league, in San Diego State and Boise State. And to be able to come out and respond like this after having a loss that frankly could have derailed your whole season. I mean, it wasn't ordinary, and these are teenagers.
Instead, the opposite has happened. We were complaining in that middle section of the season. Felt like the Rams, as they'd become ranked, they were starting to play as more of the hunted than the hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And now it feels like that Wyoming loss has changed it to where now they've got that grit. Now they're coming to kind of show teams what they're about instead of the team coming to play them being like, oh, target on their back, this is a big scalp for us, let's go get the Rams. It's kind of switched. Defense has been more consistent. Offensively, I think you're finding a much better rhythm than we were seeing for a little while there. More minutes from Bembo is nice. I think Lake and Strong keep playing well. Palmer did a little more. And that final quarter of that Boise game, final 10 minutes, the offense had a stretch where every single time down the court, they were getting a bucket or getting to the foul line. And it was just amazing to watch. The way Isaiah Stevens was like just pulling the strings was the thing of beauty there.
Yeah, you hit on a lot of stuff there that I want to dive into more in depth. Stevens, I think that's a great point. He assisted or scored on 11 of the final 15 field goals, his fifth double-double of the season. Continues to just facilitate in a way that you don't really see at this level, but his shot making is absurd. And I think that was the big key in this game. You get off to the hot start. That was another thing we had kind of been driving home. The Rams, they hadn't gotten blown out all season, but they kept putting themselves in spots where they were constantly, you know, having to battle back from down 8, down 9.
Big time.
And it's a hard way to make a living in this league, especially on the road, especially against some of these top six teams. And in these wins against San Diego State, Fresno State, and now Boise State, you come out, you start hot. There's always going to be a lull. Like, you're not just going to fire for 40 straight minutes and just kill it. But they've been able to establish and build these leads. They're able to sustain, you know, the lulls and kind of maintain their lead while it happens. The non-Isaiah minutes haven't been as killer of late. In fact, they won the non-Isaiah minutes. Yep. They increased the lead in this game, which that's going to be a huge factor. Again, you're seeing more. You mentioned Bemba, Kyan Evans, the true freshman, Joel Scott. We're going to get into all these guys. It just kind of feels like everybody's clicking again. And that was the thing. It wasn't like during their stretch, this team was completely broken, that they needed to throw it all out the window. You needed to rewrite the books. They just needed to get back to the basics. They needed to execute the offense. They needed to play inside out. They needed to drive more. And they're doing all of that. The three-point shooting, it's still kind of inconsistent. They're really dependent on Isaiah and Neek being stars there.
Yeah.
Got a couple of other big ones over the last couple of games. But, I mean, you only shoot 27% from deep. The key factor is you hold Boise State to 25%. As we all remember, the Rams played hard in Boise. They hit a lot of tough threes in that game. Andrew Meadow, true freshman, went off.
Yes.
Naturally, you know, it kind of flips the other way on the road. True freshman role player. He had a rough game, missed a bunch of free throws. It kind of evened out in that way. I just felt like CSU out-executed Boise State thoroughly on both sides of the ball. And it comes down to the way they played defense. And then offensively, as you mentioned, just everything felt like it was with purpose. They were, you know, playing inside out. They're driving. Guys are making the backdoor cuts. They're passing up good shots for great shots. And you see it in the final numbers. I mean, they go 70% from two-point range, 17 of 19 at the free throw line, 40 points in the paint. That's winning basketball.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, how many of those points in the paint, especially towards the end, are coming from easy Isaiah Stevens assists, you know?
Totally. And that's the thing. He's so dangerous as a scorer. Dude. And when he can get to wherever he wants, they have to crash in on him. And all of a sudden, nope, I'm just going to dish it off. Yep. Nice little, you know, off the glass for Joel Scott, or, you know, reverse layup for Neat coming from the corner. It just, it makes everything so much easier for this group when they are able to play inside out, when they're able to get inside the paint. And then you see it kind of open some things up for shooters on the outside as well, which, again, you know, you'd like to be better than 27% as a team.
Yeah.
But what I've liked about the Rams in these last couple of games, they're not putting up 30, 35 three-point attempts a game again. It, you know, if it's an open look, they're going for it. But you can tell there is a concerted effort to work the ball inside. And you have to do that in this league. You just have to.
Yeah, and it's not just feeding the bigs. It's, as you, like you're saying, it's getting those back cuts and everything else. It's getting those easy looks. There's just been a different offensive rhythm. It's felt as of late. I don't think it's a coincidence that they got in the 70s in both games. We've talked about that. Like, the Rams
16-1 when they score 75. And their one loss is a very fluky collapse. I mean, they should be 17-0.
In OT, right? Like, but I bet you before hitting OT, what was the score in the Wyoming game?
I don't remember.
I actually
just mid-60s. I
could look that up. Yeah. But if that game doesn't go to OT, which, again, like, it's a travesty and a tragedy that it even did, that one doesn't fall under that.
No, and the thing is, yeah, it was frustrating, but I mean, we've seen Nevada, you know, lose in Laramie. Laramie is a frisky spot to go to right now. It's just, it's tough to win on the road, and it stings, especially right now when you're one game out. And you know, it's hard not to think, ah, man, just
right there.
What if, But the important thing is, and I think it's easy for all of us, myself included, to get a little ahead of ourselves. The conference race isn't decided in January. It's not decided in February. It's decided in March. And Medved, as he tends to do, he's a great sport. He was given, you know, the local media some crap at the podium. You know, hey, is this a must-win game? You know, is this a must-win game too? He's like, you know, we're having a lot of fun. If we don't win this one, I'd hate to have to shut it down. And his point is just that, you know, like, I know that you guys want to be able to talk about this and be like, oh yeah, you know, Utah State. But now look what they've done. They've gone out on the road and lost by double digits in back-to-back games. And all of a sudden, 1 week of rough basketball changes the entire landscape of the league. So you can't get too high. Like, obviously, it's not time to take a victory lap. You've got a must win game coming up against San Jose State Friday. If you want to win the league, it's a must win from that perspective. But
home games do feel like must wins.
Well, that's the thing.
That's the thing.
It's take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
It's just the notion that, like, if you lose this game, it ends your season is a bit dramatic, as I have tended to illustrate. But the other thing is, we want to see this team live up to its potential. And in order to live up to their potential, they do have to take care of business in these games. So phrase it however you want, but this is a game you do have to win on Friday night. And then after that, you have a three-game stretch that very likely will determine if, you know, you're in the mix for the regular season title or not, with two road games at New Mexico and San Diego State and a big home game against Utah State. If you can find a way to win on Friday, and then if you could go 2-1 over those three, you have a phenomenal chance to win the league. If you could somehow go 3-0, you know, you're probably in the driver's seat. If you go 0-3 at that point, it's probably too much ground to make up. So a lot of this is going to get sorted out. The big thing is you just got to finish in the top five. All the top five teams in this league are going to get at large bids. You just don't want to be in a spot where you have to play an extra game in Vegas in that tournament. And there's going to be a very good six team that has to play on that first day.
Well, and you mentioning that top five, that Boise win is a massive.
Huge.
And then as big as that stretch against the three ranked teams, two of those being on the road, is huge. To finish top five in the league, taking care of business against Nevada, who you owe a bit of a waxing for what they did to you in their house when they come to Moby at the end of the month, that might be the biggest one in keeping you in that top five, consolidating your spot in the top five in the conference. So,
and that's the thing too. Like, even if you do have some stretch here where you get hot, like, you could very well go and win a game in the pit.
Matter.
And then if Nevada comes into Moby and gets hot, you know, or Wyoming, you never can overlook, you know, a rival.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. That March 2nd game, by the way, Wyoming already a sellout for the general admission. I would like to see on March 9th, the final regular season game in Colorado Springs. I want to see the Rams take over Clune Arena for Isaiah Stevens' final regular season game. Just feels fitting. They're not going to have a ton of support. Tickets shouldn't be too bad. And if you're coming from Denver, it's the same difference anyways, going to the Springs or going to DeFoco. So go fill that out.
I'll look up the tickets on Game Time.
Yeah, we'll look it up on Game Time.
On Boise, though, I mean, this is what you wanted. You know, like, Boise, I think offensively, I've been a bit of a... Meh, I'm unconvinced, you know? Like,
they're a tough read, man. I still, like, defensively, and Tyson Degenhart is obviously a dog. He had 25 points in this one. The Rams struggled to defend him. A lot of the fouls that they picked up were trying to guard him. Personally felt like some of them were kind of ticky-tacky. I don't know if that's the best officiating setting the league up for success, because they just aren't going to call those types of fouls in the tournament. But if he gets 25 and nobody else does a damn thing, you're in good shape. And that was the big key. You know, you didn't let Ogbo kill you. You didn't let Max Rice get going from deep. He's coming off of a national player of the week. He dropped 35 in the pit. He's a dude that can get unconscious when he gets going.
And he was 2-4 from three. So, like, he had it going from deep. It's just that from the field, 3-9, they were able to lock him down. Degenhart, you complained about the fouls, but he only gets 4 free throw attempts, you know, so you're doing a good job there on keeping him.
It's a good point.
From getting those freebies. And yeah, you made their offense look fairly pedestrian. I think it was just last show I was asking you, what do you think? Boise kind of feels like a smidge of a pretender, you know, but the results had been really good. And to CSU's credit, they made them look pretty pedestrian on offense. You know, that's,
I think we kind of beat them at their own game,
up,
to be honest.
I agree.
We dictated the tone physically. CSU was able to kind of control the tempo throughout.
Controlling the tempo has been massive, man.
Well, yeah, because we're
really
so good in transition that if you can get those opportunities, if you can get the 15 to 20 points in transition, you know you're going to be able to create stuff in your half court, because you have the best point guard in college basketball. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to create. It's the rebound that turns into a layup the other way, or a corner three, or, you know, Isaiah just getting to the rim. The Rams have been able to get to the line a lot in transition opportunities off of steals. I just felt like against a team that wants to bully you, and kind of did bully you a little bit in Boise.
Wants to muck it up.
The Rams were like, we're going to push you around. Yeah. We got some guys too. And I want to highlight specifically Rashawn Bemba, because I think this was his best game since probably the Creighton win, when he had 13 points, a career high. Mm-hmm. Statistically speaking, it was 8 points, 4 rebounds, and only 13 minutes. He was plus 13 in 13 minutes on the floor.
Yeah. pretty incredible. I mean, that says it all. But no, the rhythm shows up so much, man. It shows up and it does something to their half court offense. They're just getting downhill more often. You know, it's not these. When the offense looks too Princeton-y, it's too many lateral passes around the. They around can, the three
yeah,
point
it can get
line,
a little bit cute at times, yeah. And they're yes, and that's what we were going to, and they were struggling though. That's where it's like, all right, can somebody just cut?
Mm-hmm.
Can somebody, you know, set a high screen? Let's set some.
And that's
some
what Boise wants, right? They want to see these long possessions where the passes are just going back and forth, nothing's really happening downhill. They didn't give that to them. They just didn't. And their offense was the offense that looked like that, where it's like
they settled
okay,
a lot.
Like, hope you make that prayer of a long jumper, like. See if that works out for you.
If they hit some of those, you tip your cap. That's the thing about the loss to Nevada is I didn't even feel like CSU played bad defense. Gerard Lucas and Keenan Blackshear, they went out of their minds. They had an insane game. Those guys were huge in the win for Nevada over Utah State. Sometimes it's just going to be like that. I mean, Neek and Zay have had moments that way. I felt like against San Diego State, I didn't think the Aztecs played bad defense. I just thought CSU offensively was able to make some really impressive buckets. So they're doing a good job of just finding their rhythm on both sides of the ball, of not, you know, letting things compound when they do have tough stretches. I mean, there's always going to be a couple of possessions there. It's like, oh man, you rushed an open shot, you missed that, and then you gave up an easy one the other way, and then you followed that up with the turnover, and all of a sudden it's, you know, a little 6-point swing. And instead of letting that turn into a 12-point swing like it kind of did in some of those losses, they figured out, all right, let's slow it down. Let's get a bucket. Let's get to the rim. And in the second half, when Boise was battling hard, they never went away. The Rams just, they were meticulous, man. And I think that's exhausting when the half court is executing the way that they are in the half court sets. And they're also able to get whatever they want in transition. And they're also in your face defensively. And the perimeter defense is great. It's overwhelming, especially on the road. The crowd was great. They were giving it to the Boise fans, which is awesome. The atmosphere has been epic all year long.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we got it in the comment here from Jacob. The defense has been looking great recently. I'm with you. The defense is going to be what determines this team's ceiling. If you can hold teams under 65 consistently, as we've said, you know, you're 16-1 when you get to 75. If the Rams do what they're supposed to most nights offensively, you lock in on defense, you're going to win a lot of games. And that's been the big key for this group. Shout out to everybody in the comment section. I appreciate you. Mile High Minute says, thank you, DNVR, for providing CSU Rams talk on YouTube consistently. It's much needed. That's what we're here for, man. Nobody else is doing it. So that's what we are going to do.
Damn straight.
I do want to shout out the homies at Fubo TV. By the way, as a CSU fan, no better way to watch all the Rams action, all the Mountain West action. You get CBS Sports Network, FS1, FS2. I mean, as somebody who's been a Mountain West guy now his entire life and has, you know, gone through the process of I have to upgrade my cable package so that I can get CBS Sports Network, and it's going to end up being another $30 a month for this one channel. It's so annoying. With Fubo, you don't have to worry about any of that. 140-plus live channels, sports. You can watch movies on there. I've been rewatching the Waco series from a couple years back.
Dang.
It's really good. It's really intense.
I've been pronouncing that Waco this whole time. Can you believe it?
was Waco.
Fubo's incredible, man. Fubo really is. I mean, if you're a Mountain West fan, what are you doing without Fubo? FS1, FS2, CBS Network.
You're like, living you're life inconveniently.
All the hits. No. And then it's so easy to upgrade to an NFL Network, to Red Zone, to an NBA League Pass. And, you know, it's month by month. You want to cut those packages when you're done with them and the season's over? It's that easy. You want to cut cable,
that's
take
a great
couple
thing. You don't get
break,
locked in for six months
that.
For
yeah.
maybe a channel I only want to add for a month.
Dude,
so it's
a great deal. Support them because they support us. They're what makes this possible. You know, we just got the shout out for doing that. Well, Fubo's part of that. And you get to watch the Rams and follow along with us week in, week out as the season heats up and gets awesome. So.
Watch all your favorite college hoops action. Watch the Super Bowl this Sunday with Fubo. Go to www.fubotv.com/DNVR. That's www.fubotv.com/DNVR to sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. Of course, I got to talk to you about the presenting sponsors, Natures of Colorado. They are the premier dispensary in northeastern Colorado. They provide an amazing grade of cannabis, a vast variety of products. Check them out for all your needs. They've got infused edibles, high potency concentrates, some of the best flower in the state. There are four convenient locations: Log Lane Village, Garden City, Sedgwick, and Milliken. They are the go-to northeastern Colorado dispensary, and they are the dispensary for you if you are on the go, because all of their locations have drive-throughs. Visit any of their locations and mention our code DNVR to take advantage of these Natures of Colorado deals. You can get a $99 ounce every day. That's a great deal already. But when you use the code DNVR, you get any shelf ounce, $85, including top shelf. They're hooking it up in a way that nobody else does. Exquisite extracts, 2 gram bucket for 15. Remember to use that code DNVR online or mention DNVR in stores. Love it.
Let's go.
The bench as a whole was really good in this win. 23 combined points. You get 9, 8, and 8 out of three guys. Kyan didn't have any points, but I thought defensively he hung in really well. Again, he doesn't need to be a star. For him, it's really just about, can you play 5 to 8 minutes a night and while Isaiah gets a rest? And can you just make some winning plays? You know, can you make the right pass? Can you make the right read defensively?
Yeah.
He did that. But on top of that, you get huge minutes out of Rashawn Bemba, both Patrick Cartier and Joel Scott dealing with 3 fouls apiece. Just bad luck on Cartier. He got 2 early fouls. They put him in at the end of the first half for an offensive possession. And honestly,
but these are the matchups where Mbemba makes a difference.
What's that physicality?
And yes. He knows
that he's not going to play 30 minutes. I've got 5 fouls, so fuck it. I can use a couple of these.
Oh, that's the thing. I mean, part of Mbemba's appeal is in 20 minutes, if it's a good game and you can justify having him on the floor 20 minutes, you're expecting at least 3 fouls.
And that's fine.
That's what's built
because
in,
you
though.
Feel yes. The way that...
He's the guy you want burning fouls, not the other
exactly.
Two bigs, you know? So, like, and that's what, like, he's here for.
It, you know, you throw that forearm in the back a couple of times, all of a sudden guys are coming down there. You make him hesitant, and he doesn't back down. He's so poised. When he goes to the free throw line, legitimately, he's got to be one of the better freshman free throw shooters I've ever seen. I mean, he was 4 of 4 in this game. Just so poised with everything he does. And when you get that out of him and you get big minutes from Joe Palmer off the bench, you know, he's able to get a couple of big boards. He had 2 and 1 opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
He had a steal at the beginning of the second half that led to an and one opportunity. I really felt like that was kind of the turning point.
Gosh,
where the
Rams
pulled away.
And Mbemba's free throws are,
he's great.
Crazy. 75%. But if you look at the game log, there's so many games where he's perfect. You
yeah,
know?
He had like one bad game that skewed his numbers too, because he doesn't have a ton of free throw
attempts.
No, he
doesn't get to the line a lot. He should try a little more, honestly.
That's what I'm saying. He's so good. Like, I like that they're getting them those touches. They don't need those guys to be all-stars. They don't need 30-point explosions off the bench most nights. But getting 8 points in the first half from Jaylen Lake before Isaiah really gets it going in the second half, you know, getting 7 points from Joe Palmer, but they're loud 7 points. He hits a big three, you know, gets a couple of and one opportunities. Bemba doing his thing, banging in the paint. Like, it just changes the tone of the game. And when you don't have to rely on the starters to score 71 of 79 points, it makes all of this so much more sustainable. I know that Isaiah is capable of going off. I know that Neat Clifford most nights is going to be great. Joel Scott has really come to life over these last 5-6 games on both ends. Like, he's just
both ends. He's back to being more of that bully I love so much in the non-conference. And now he's making some of those shots from the outside, which is a beauty. I get hyped, bro.
So do I.
When Scott makes a nice three. Because again, it opens things up.
Changes everything.
I don't think it's a mistake that the spacing, the ability to get downhill, has opened up the last few games, because it feels like teams can't clog the lane they were.
Well, they got to respect
it. In January,
it.
You know?
And that's the thing. Like, you always had to respect it with Cartier, and he's so big at the top of the key.
Yeah.
If Joel Scott can go to that corner, you can't leave him. He might pop it on you. And that's where it's been big. Hit 4 of 6 from deep, all in the second halves, too, in those San Diego State and Fresno State wins.
Yeah.
He did shoot one early in a possession against Boise where I was like, all right,
settle down.
I like that you're hitting them, but like, come on now, like,
totally, man.
But in the second half, I just feel like he has really played well within the flow of the game. He's attacking, putting the ball on the floor. He's getting to the free throw line. He's hitting those free throws more consistently than he was. Instead of being, you know, 48-50%, it's been more like 65-70%, which is a number you can live with.
For sure. And I know we were talking about the bench, but, you know, I think Josiah Strong has really picked his game up.
He's been great.
And I think it's no coincidence that as Strong's played better, the defense has come alive.
I agree.
Like, it's more size on the perimeter. It's big.
Well, I mean, him and Neek are your best on-ball defenders. Yeah. They completely, it's just, it. You can feel it. When those guys are both out there together, especially, there's just a lot less open shots. You're not going to give up the driving lanes the same way.
Yeah.
Again, he's a guy, him and Lake, and again, I don't do a good enough job of spotlighting those guys because they're kind of the unsung heroes.
You know, they are for sure.
They're so important with what they provide defensively along the perimeter. Those are the guys, they're diving for loose balls. They're trying to tee people up, but they're starting to just kind of hit some of those shots they weren't hitting. And Lake kind of had a rough second half. He missed some open shots offensively, but again,
and rough game against Fresno too, but like Jalen brings so much more to the table than just scoring.
You need him to not be hesitant. Like, keep, if that lane is there, keep driving. Exactly. Put it up. If that three is there, shoot
it. That's more important for spacing than the misses are.
100%. Yeah. And that's kind of what Nedved was driving home when they were struggling. Is like, you know, yes, I want us to be a little more selective. And I think the Rams have bought into that. I think instead of taking good shots, they've been trying to get great shots. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing the benefit of that. But you don't want to rip the guys either and have them scared to put it up, because that's what makes this team so dangerous in the four out or the five out, is that all five of those guys are capable of putting it up. All five of those guys are capable of putting it on the floor and then, you know, going to the hoop. If you have guys out there where, you know, when they get the ball, it's just going to stop, or he's going to, you know, I got to turn. Right. Somebody is, who do I give the ball to? You know, that's really detrimental, especially when you don't have like a true 7-footer who you can just like throw out there, and he alone, you know, they got to put two defenders on him so you can afford to have a guy who's not doing something offensively.
Totally. I mean, the other thing here is, you know, it's kind of off topic, but there's just a different energy, man. And I mean, Cartier's fitting in nicely. I think he's picked his game up a little bit and been more consistent. And then Kyle Evans, how are you feeling about Kyle here?
Well, Kyle hasn't played much of late. They got Kyle Evans and Kyan Evans. Kyan Evans is the freshman point guard.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Kyan is, you know, again, he's not going to play a ton, but I think he just goes out and understands, what do I need to do to impact winning basketball? Kyan Evans playing winning basketball is not Kyan going out there and jacking up three shots. If there's an opportunity for him to get an open look, sure. If there's a driving lane, take it. Get to the rim. He's been confident with driving. There are times where I feel like he's driving and not even looking to score. He's only looking to facilitate, and maybe I want him to be a little more selfish in those instances, just so the defense respects you a little bit. And, you know, I think there are times where he drives and the defense is just kind of like, all right, well, he's going to kick it back out. But I don't know. You know, I don't want to nitpick too much either, because I think he understands what he needs to be, which is not the superstar. I need to come out and fill a role for 5-6 minutes while our superstar is, you know, able to get a little break here.
For sure. No, for sure. I mean, I've really liked what they've shown this last week. I thought the Fresno game was pretty impressive too.
I think this is the, you can make a lot of arguments. Obviously they had plenty of impressive stretches in non-conference. You could point to, you know, Boston College, Creighton, that whole stretch and concession. You have pretty strong cases, their best 3-game stretch, but I think it's been this 3-game stretch, because it's coming off of just a horrific loss. Yeah. It's against two of the top teams in the league, and it's against teams that know you. That's the difference between conference play and non-conference play. Creighton's a great program. They don't have the same familiarity with CSU that San Diego State and Boise State do. You know, they understand 100% what the Rams are trying to accomplish out there. And for CSU to be able to come out and execute the way that they did under those circumstances, with the lights as bright as they are, so much at stake. You know, people are writing you off, this, classic CSU. They came out hot, blew their wad early, and now, you know, the the season's over, they're, you know, NIT, here we come. And all of a sudden, you know, this team has just reminded everyone we're a damn good basketball team. And obviously the league is really deep. We're about to get into our Mountain West power rankings, kind of give an update. Before I forget, I do want to mention, if you are not going to be in Fort Collins for the game, come down to DNVR Friday night. We're doing a watch party with the Alumni Association. So much love to them for partnering with us.
Hell yeah.
We'll actually be doing another one, I believe, for the UNLV home game down the line, or road game down the line.
Alumni Association doing a giveaway. We're doing giveaways. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. And I mean, show your support for this team, man. Just like we're getting our props for doing Rams content. Come to the bar. Show the people what you know, what Rams fit, what the Ramleys like here in Denver, man. Let's loud and proud out here. Come on.
I'm about it, baby. Last thing I wanted to touch on before we get into the Mountain West power rankings, just because I feel like I have to. Trilly Donovan, Twitter account. It's an anonymous account, some college basketball insider. Posts a lot of scoops from there. Has Nico Medved, and this isn't the first time I've seen this, as one of the four names he's hearing consistently in the mix for West Virginia. We'll have to see. Obviously, that's kind of a tough job, especially in the Big 12, getting even deeper moving forward by adding of those Pac-12 teams.
Yes, sir.
I do think it's an athletic department that invests heavily in athletics, and certainly I'm sure would offer him a big deal. So I do think it's a very serious threat, you know, to take Medved's. We'll have to see what happens there.
They've had their moments over the years. Yeah, West Virginia.
They've certainly been competitive. Nico's wife, Erica, is from Morgantown. They were married there. There's a lot of connections that make sense. I think West Virginia or Minnesota are probably the two big schools that, if you look at the connections, they would be the most obvious. We shall see. I mean, that's the price of success, is it puts you in this spot. Obviously,
that's right.
FAU, Dusty May, he's in that mix as well. That's what happens. I mean, if you get a coach poached, it means you're doing something right. It certainly would be disappointing. I'd love Medved to be the coach in CSU for 30 years if it were possible, but we'll just have to see. We'll talk about that more as it comes down the line. If those reports start, you know, start coming out more and more. Sometimes if there's smoke, there tends to be fire. Sometimes though, it's just agents floating their name, trying to get their guy a raise. And you know, his agent's got a job to do too. And the best way to get him a raise, you know, is, but well, you know, we got leverage, you know, if you're not going to double his salary, West Virginia just might triple it. So yeah. We'll see what happens.
It also doesn't take being a college hoops insider to know that Nico's one of the hotter names out there for P5 programs looking to make a splash.
Well, because of the success the Rams have had.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. That's just how it works. Now,
that's exactly right.
I think there's an argument that, especially from a basketball perspective and with the Mountain West being what it is right now, you can be a very nationally competitive program. You can be relevant. You can go to the NCAA tournament every year at CSU. You can have a brand that means something, like a San Diego State, like Nevada when they were rolling under Musselman, or New Mexico back in the day, UNLV under Tarkanian, although that was, you know, pre-Mountain West days, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to see. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, just because I know this would be the next question, if he were to move on, my top choice would be promoting Ali Farokhmanesh. I think he's earned it.
The comments right
there. He's a great, great recruiter. To me, it's a no-brainer.
Like college hoops legend.
College hoops legend. And he's been so big for the development of the guards over the years, the shooting. He's one of the most important elements in their recruiting.
How active he is on the sideline.
Exactly. He's very much earned it. I mean, obviously, Tim Miles is a name people would throw out there. Ross Hodge, another former CSU assistant, having some success at North Texas.
Tim Miles, that route of the like retread isn't something they've seen super inclined to do over the years, Justin.
I think Tim's a great coach. I think he'd be a good hire. I would not have issue with it at all. To me, I would rather promote the lead assistant that has been a part of this from day one, that has the juice, you know, that's...
Than the guy who's helped build this
15 years ago.
Two iterations.
And that's not to say
ago,
that, you know, again, that he couldn't do it or he couldn't be a great coach. I mean, obviously what he did at San Jose State last year is super impressive, but I'm with my guy, Swole Cracker, aka Steve Ivy, in the comment section. Ali is waiting in the wings. That's our guy. We ride for Ali Farouk Manesh, and we ride for Nico Medved, man. That's our guy. It's been great to me ever since the very first day he stepped on campus.
Friend of the program.
Friend of the program, as is Jay Norvell. So much love to CSU Athletics as a whole. They've been great working with us. You know what's also great, though? Game time.
Game time, baby.
Best way to buy tickets last minute or in advance. You want to hot? I mean, we'll see what the tickets are like for that Air Force game on March 9th. With most ticketing sites, it's so annoying because you see one price, you add it to the cart, you think, boom, I got this great deal. You know, I'm going to the Nuggets game, two ticks for $20, and then they hit you with a processing fee and a convenience fee. And you wanted to watch basketball on a Tuesday fee, and all of a sudden those $20 tickets are like $52.99.
Don't be doing that to Jay, Mike.
Hate hidden prices. I only buy tickets with Game Time now because the price you see, it's the price that you get. The Game Time guarantee. So if you find tickets in the same section, same row for a lower price, they'll credit you 110% of the difference. That is how serious they are about it. And it really is the best way to get tickets for anything. Nuggets, games up in Fort Collins. Were you able to find the Air Force tickets?
Yes, as low as 24. We've got some flash deals in the 27s. There are some really reasonably priced tickets to go see the Rams close out the regular season in the spring.
Potentially for a regular season Mountain West title. Who knows? But either way, it's Isaiah Stevens' last regular season game.
And I mean, crazy prices on this next game hosting San Jose State and Tim Miles.
Go show your love, guys. Game Time is the way to do it.
$16.
Oh, man, that's a hell of a deal. Hop on that. I'll be pushing that on Twitter. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the app, create an account, use that code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. If you've never used it before, you can use it right now and basically get your tickets for free. Terms do apply. Again, create an account, use that code DNVR for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. Finally, FOCO is a leading manufacturer of sports and entertainment merchandise. Yeah. They've got it all. Apparel, bobbleheads, friendship bracelets. They've got a little bit of something for everybody. If you
Christmas ornaments?
They've got some. Actually, I've got a couple of Christmas ornaments from FOCO. Got a little Broncos dog. I got a Nuggets one.
Yeah,
I got
some NBA Finals stuff. LOB replica here.
LOB replica. It's sick. FOCO always has our back for Colorado sports. They will have yours too. Get the best gear around. Use the link in our description or for all non-presale items. Use that promo code DNVR for 10% off.
Nicely done, Jay Mike. I did want to ask you, and I'm sorry, earlier I had this thought in my head, then I lost it, and I scrambled a little. That wasn't great when I asked you about Evans. What's the atmosphere been like at Moby the last few games as they close out games? Because from home, feels like there's some tightness. Like, there's some post-Wyoming tightness in executing against the press, getting to the line.
A little bit, yeah.
Not screwing things up. Which, honestly, I think has forced the team to be a little more dialed in and really execute this. Like, they're breaking down that press the right way these last couple games, and it's nice to see. But I did just want to ask you about that.
Yeah, I think there is an element of that, especially, you know, like against San Diego State. It's lingering more when you're up, like, 11 yes, specifically yes. with a minute. You know, you're like, here we go again.
Yeah, and Boise, it lasted maybe two possessions, and then it felt like, okay, they took care of business. We're good.
It's low-hanging fruit. I mean, they were up 11 against Fresno with, like, 90 seconds left, and the announcers inevitably, like, And it'll get brought up every game for the rest of the season.
It'll be brought up in the Sweet 16 if they're up 11 and trying to close out a game. It will be brought up anytime you're in the final minute or so, and they're nurturing a double-digit lead.
I think that's been part of it. I also think part of it is I think the expectation is this team is really good. Like, one of the things that the radio play-by-play team mentioned was that the students didn't storm the floor. They stormed the floor against us when Boise upset us. Obviously, we were top 25 team at that point.
Right.
It felt very business-like, to be honest with you. It kind of felt like San Diego State was more of the, oh man, like, this is the big game. And against Boise, it was almost like the fans were like, yeah, this is what we should do.
Yeah, right.
That it's kind of a late arriving crowd, not as much of the general public as I expected. I get it's a long drive. Those 7 p.m. tips are really tough coming from Denver. I get it. Trust me. I've had some nightmarish trips in traffic, but I'm telling you guys, it's worth it because there's nothing like this, and you're not going to have another player like Isaiah Stevens anytime soon. So you got four more opportunities at home. You got a nice trip to the Colorado Springs. If you're going to be in Vegas, you know, that's going to be fun. By the way, stay at Circa. Use that code DNBR. You can get 20% off your stay.
That's right.
I think it'll be epic for Wyoming. It'll obviously be rocking naturally. And, you know, Nevada, Utah State, especially if, you know, you win these next couple, like, there's going to be a lot at stake. They were letting a couple of Boise players have it, man. Cam Martin, by the way, would have been CSU's big had Isaiah Stevens decided to come back a little bit sooner. The Rams almost signed him 2 years ago. He ended up going from D2 to Oklahoma or to Kansas, never really played there, was going to come to CSU, decided he couldn't wait around, wasn't patient enough, decided to go to Boise State. CSU pivots, signs Joel Scott instead.
I think it's worked out. Cam Martin not killing it necessarily.
The fans, I don't know what happened. If I missed something early, but they were just 31 sucks all night, just letting them have it. It's awesome. I love the heckling. People get upset about that kind of stuff, but that's what it's all about. Anyways, the Moby Madness is legit.
It's in full effect.
It's rocking right now. Head up there. Let's wrap up. Let's get these power rankings, which I'm going to be honest. I think this was the hardest one of the year to put together. Everybody has beaten somebody at this point. Everybody has lost to somebody at this point. If you really want to emphasize one matchup or another to make your point, you probably can. That's the thing. These top six, you're all within one game, not a lot of separation. We'll start at the bottom. I'm going to...
What's crazy is Wyoming's within two. Like...
Wyoming's kind of good.
80% of the league.
Like, Wyoming is not a team you would want to face on the first or second day of the Mountain West tournament. That's a scary draw if you are one of those teams.
Stupid Wyoming, man.
UNLV is the same way. Like, you know, any of these teams, it's going to be tough. We're coming in at number 11, though, with Air Force. Well, let's just do the bottom three real quick. I've got Air Force at 11, San Jose State at 10, Fresno State at 9. I went back and forth between San Jose State and Air Force. You're kind of splitting hairs, very similar. They've each got two or three guys that are capable. The rest of the roster is abysmal.
Yeah.
They're both frisky. They both had moments for 10 to 15 minutes a game. I think they can give anybody a scare, but the depth just isn't there.
I think you've got it right.
Fresno, I think they've got better athletes, so I put them over there, even though I don't like their system at all. I think Justin Hudson is just... kind of a lame duck at this point, but
yeah, they feel like they're underachieving just a tad.
They are. They don't have any juice.
They should be better than like Wyoming or.
They should. They absolutely should, especially with what Wyoming lost after last year. But
yeah,
you know, it is what it is.
But I like this tier. We found the bottom tier, and this is it.
Agreed.
And I think you've got them in the right order.
Number 8, I went Wyoming. I went back and forth between Wyoming and UNLV. UNLV has won 3 in a row, so I think they deserve the nod. Wyoming, they've struggled these last two after kind of having a nice little stretch there. They're going to be really hard to beat at home. They did go down to the Springs and convincingly beat Air Force, but I do think even in spite of beating CSU, and if you're a Pokes fan, you know, make all the jokes, I get it. I think they're pretty clearly, you know, a level between these other seven teams. Just talent wise.
Yeah, I'm a little lower on Wyoming than you are.
I think it's just they at least have the wins. They beat Nevada at home, they beat CSU at home, which is more than anybody below them can say.
No, you're right, and that backcourt can get frisky. It just
I'm with you. I wouldn't overlook them in the tournament. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
UNLV at 7 on a 3-game win streak.
Poof.
It all depends on which team shows up, man. Their top end talent is probably top three in the league, but their inconsistency is maddening. 6. This was really hard because Nevada is coming off a great win and they've actually been pretty good these last couple of games.
Dude, I know.
But they were so inconsistent I think they'd lost 4 out of 5 before that, with the one win being over CSU. I think 6 is pretty firmly where they are. When they're on and Blackshear and Lucas are able to hit a bunch of tough shots, they're really hard to beat. The big key for them is all of a sudden Davidson in the post has come to life, and he's had a double-double these last couple games. Utah State couldn't do anything with him. He changes the whole ceiling of their team, and I'm going to be kind of interested to see how that plays out moving forward.
Well, and what's funny is if the Rams weren't coming off the week they were just coming off of, could you make an argument? Power rankings, right? We always talk about it's more of a stock watch. Maybe Nevada over Boise right now?
Yeah, as of this week? I have Boise. I think you could make an argument for them for as high as 3. I don't think you can argue them in the top 2 right now. I think you could say they're 6 just because of their offensive inconsistency. Yep. I think I like the guard play of all 6 or of all of the other top 5 teams in the top 6 better.
Right.
I also think Degenhart is so good that he alone is probably good enough to kind of keep them in the mix. I think that's a fair point. I went Nevada 6. I'm going to flip these on the spot here, Tiff, just so you know. Only one at 5 instead of Utah State. We're putting Boise State at 5.
There you go.
I think I was a little too harsh on on Utah State when I was filling this out. I had them at 1. They've lost back-to-back games now by double digits.
Yep.
Neither of them are bad losses, but I mean losing to Nevada at home by double digits, I do think that should have some serious repercussion. Utah State did beat Boise State in Boise, so I think it's fair to have Utah State above them. I like how it is shaped out. What do you think?
I'm with this. Utah State, as you've told me before, probably the highest upside, probably the most complete. I think you've said the most complete. Maybe the highest upside is me.
I don't know.
I think
they've been the most consistent on both sides of the floor.
I think they're the one team that's like firmly in the top 4, so I agree with that. Boise, I think, is right at 5. Nevada's like,
they're knocking
just
on the door.
Landmine, dude. Nevada's a land, like,
they're frisky.
They could be anywhere.
Well, and you got a great coach. You've got experienced players. I mean, that stuff matters. So
I trust them.
We'll see. They tend to play pretty good in the Mountain West tournament too.
Yeah.
A top 3. Good luck sorting this out. We're gonna try. I have San Diego State at 3 because I still just think offensively they're a little bit limited. I don't think they have the same shot-making capabilities as Utah State, as CSU, as New Mexico. That said, you know, Reese Waters has come on strong, the USC transfer. Jaden Ledee is a freak, man. If they can get...
He's playing great.
Well,
he's
and they've switched up their lineup now. Now they've got Micah Parrish and Lamont Butler coming off the bench, which I kind of like, having those vets that come in and spark you offensively.
Do they have Ledee playing more big minutes now?
Yeah, he's kind of being the true 5 this year.
I like him in that role.
I do too.
And it gives them a weird 5 out, but they're so athletic. They still have a ton of like size, you know.
Well, and he's a guy that can hit mid-range jumpers for you. I mean, he's just
create one-on-one.
Really skilled.
Offensively though, they smell to me a little bit. Something's off, you know.
And their numbers defensively are good, but when they've played against the other top teams, I haven't felt like they've suffocated you. And like I felt like Boise in some of their big wins has been much more suffocating defensively.
Man. They're probably the best individual defense in the conference.
Yeah.
But I don't the like defensive system isn't as locked down as some other ones. And like it lends itself well to some matchups, like I think Utah State. I think Nevada, because you can lock some of those guys down. Teams like CSU, though, where it's more a full offensive system, I think they struggle with that more, you know?
I'm with you.
You also, you know, you need a lockdown for a guy like Isaiah.
It's a tough assignment. Yeah, and I mean, the same deal, like against the New Mexico, like Jalen House is a tough assignment. I mean,
correct.
You know,
correct.
Mashburn and JT Toppin, their freshman forward, these are all good teams.
So, like, I can't disagree with them being top 3. But of the top 6 teams, speaking now predominantly from a Rams perspective, dare I say they're the team that scares me the least.
Interesting.
Which, like, hey,
I think
top
that's
6,
fair.
You got to pick one,
no,
right?
It's fair.
Like, so, I mean,
I think
you're
it's
picking
fair.
Like, from 6 killers, so.
The funny thing is, and I think you're right, and I'm not arguing with you.
Yeah.
It feels very football-esque where all season long, This isn't the same Boise. And guess who still ends up winning the league when it's all said and done?
And that's what SDSU has
And the league still runs through the Aztecs until proven otherwise. So
I'm with you, man. And I mean, I'm talking like this now. We'll see in
we go to Viejas in a week.
Yeah, we shall see in a week. Yes, exactly.
It's going to be a tough pay, but I mean, that's another one. If you can pull that scalp all of a sudden.
Well, that's you break serve on any of the top six. You get any of those teams at their home. Like
that could be the difference.
We are so back,
especially if you take care of business at home. So,
yeah, that might just put you at the top of the conference. Okay, top two.
I got CSU at two. I wanted to jump them all the way to one. I still think New Mexico offensively is so lethal,
and they just keep having success on the road, man.
They have some big wins, and it's translated away from the Pit, which has been big.
Yeah. Now the Pit hasn't been the fortress necessary, right?
Boise went down there. They're able to beat them. We've seen a couple other teams hang tight. That's encouraging.
Yeah.
But I just think New Mexico, their talent is top to bottom. I think it's probably the deepest team in the league.
They're the deepest, and not just their deepest offensively and defensively, I feel like, right?
They're really good.
And they're maybe the most complete because of that depth on both sides of the court.
Now, I will say, I also think that out of these teams, they are the most emotionally volatile.
Yes.
And they are the team that I think is the most likely to, like, you could be like, yes, New Mexico got hot. JT Toppin, Jalen House were great. They went on a Final Four run. And I'm like, yes, that I can see that path. Yeah. I can also see the path where it's like Jalen House got two technical fouls in the first half. New Mexico lost by 18 to a team they were seeded significantly higher to and got bounced in the first round. We'll see. I just think that the athleticism they have, the speed that they bring to the table, they're just a really overwhelming team, especially at the Pit, which in my opinion is, you know, the best home court advantage in the conference. So I've got them just barely above CSU. But again, you know, if the Rams go down, they can pull another quality road win. You already have the head-to-head over New Mexico. With the way that CSU is executing defensively right now, you know, I do think you can make an argument for them to be one. But I just want to see a little bit more here over these next couple of matchups before we put them right back at the top.
Next four games tell us so much on the Rams side of things. So
100%. I mean, it doesn't define your season because you could finish fifth or sixth in the league and still go on and like make an Elite Eight or something, or, you know, win the Mountain West tournament, do something crazy. But, you know, as we said, coming into the year, we're kind of greedy right now. You know, we want the regular season title. We want to do well in Vegas. We want to make a run. We want it all because this team is good enough to do it.
And now it's all like right back in play.
You control your own destiny. Yeah. You know, it's all there for the taking.
Yeah.
It's going to be really hard. Nothing is going to come easy from here on out. You do not have an easy game left on the schedule. Not one. Not even that trip to the Springs.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Can you lock in?
It's true.
Can you lock in and play your best ball this season? These last three games, all encouraging. Everything kind of seems to indicate, you know, this team is battle tested. Yeah. They've been through it. Mm-hmm. We've seen them play their highest level. They have now figured out, you know, what is kind of their identity on both sides of the ball. I think they've figured out how to win in different types of games even. But can you maintain it against a gauntlet of a schedule? And that's all TBD.
Damn straight, man. That's exactly right. What an exhilarating conference to follow week in, week out.
So much fun. Make sure you guys are locked in. Plenty of written content all weekend. Again, come to the DMVR bar Friday night. Watch party. Opportunity to get free drinks, free merch. Yes. The Alumni Association, they are giving away free stuff as well. Always cool to pair with them. Shout out to Tiff, our producer, behind the scenes, making all our dreams come true. And shout out to all of you in Ram Nation. None of this would be possible without you. Always proud to be. Go Nuggets tonight. Peace. We all silly like the mayor.